Welcome to the first sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Choose, Deciding Our Values for Life. Today's sermon title, Defining Values. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 10, and let's begin.
Our Heavenly Father, you are a God of values, and you teach us to discipline ourselves and exercise our values so that we can live the life that you created us to live. Help me to talk about this today in a meaningful way. In Christ's name, amen. I read a book by Timothy O'Brien. Timothy was a Vietnam War veteran. In fact, he was wounded in Vietnam and was wounded so severely that he had to have a desk job to finish his enlistment or draft, or I don't know if he was drafted or enlisted. And he wrote a book called The Things They Carried. It's a very fascinating idea. It was about the guys in Vietnam who would do these week-long trips into the jungle. And he studied what they carried with them. Because if you're going to be a whole week in the jungle and all you have is what you put in your backpack, you get pretty picky about what goes in that backpack because you have to carry that thing all day long, all week long. And so he investigated what men were willing to carry. He found out that there was a soldier that was worried that he would run out of ammunition, so he always carried double ammunition. Turned out he never used the double ammunition, but he carried it because it gave him a sense of security. There were soldiers who wanted more rations than they got, so they would carry extra rations. One soldier wanted to always be quiet at night when he had to do guard duty. He carried a pair of moccasins. So every night when he had guard duty, he'd put the moccasins on because he believed it made him more quiet. The commander of the unit carried a pack of letters. It's a real odd story. He really liked this girl, but she didn't like him as much as he liked her, but she would write him letters. And he put these letters in a watertight bag, and every evening when they camped, he washed his hands and got the letters out. Sometimes he read them, sometimes he just looked at them. They had to share carrying a 30-pound radio because it was a life or death object for them in Vietnam. So when I read the book, I was thinking, what would I carry in my backpack? If I had to be gone a week at a time and I was carrying the things I really valued, what would I take along? Then I thought to myself, how much of what I value would fit in a backpack? The things I think I value, they don't fit very well in a backpack. Kind of hard to get a Harley Davidson in a backpack. Can't put a pool table in a backpack. Big screen TVs, they don't fit so well in the backpack either. When you really start looking at your life and you start questioning your values, how many things do we think we value that really we've misvalued? And they don't help us through life, they hinder us in life. Is that possible? Is it possible that some of the things that we've put a high value on, they're not really helping us move through life, they're hindering us from moving through life? And some of the things that we haven't valued the way we should, that would help us through life, they don't make it into our backpack. And after I read this book, I went online to find out some more stuff about it. I found out it was fiction. I wanted to choke Timothy O'Brien. I had the value to hurt him. He said it's based on some real things, but it's a fictional story. Now I'm saying, what's fiction? But I guess it's appropriate, because often the story we tell ourselves about our values is not the truth. The story we tell ourselves about what we value and what we really value are commonly two different things. In preparation for this series, I found out that most people say they value one thing, but their life behaviors prove they don't. See, the way you know what you value is how much time and care you give it. I say I value my motorcycle, but I never wash it and I never polish it. I value riding it. I don't value washing and polishing it. It's dirty right now in the garage, and it'll be dirty next spring. See, the things we value, we give attention, energy, and care to. And if we don't give attention, energy, and care to it, we have deceived ourselves that we value it. You know in your life what you value by what you give time and energy to care for. So what are values? Stephen Hayes is a PhD, and he wrote a very good article on values, and I want to read a couple of sentences from it. Values are what bring distinction to your life. You don't find them, you choose them. That's an interesting idea, and we're going to talk about it many times. We don't find our values, we choose them. And when you do, you're on the path to fulfillment. What are values? One, values define what we really care about. Values aren't what I say I care about. It's what my life proves I really care about. Two, values direct our how we exert our best efforts in life. Where you are giving your best self, that's where you value something. Where you don't give your best self, you don't value it. Values empower us to persist through difficulties. When we really value something, we stick with it even when it gets hard. Raising kids. Sometimes it's just wonderful. It's so fun, you can't stand it. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult, right, parents? Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes I say to myself, who are these people? And I'm sure my kids said, I'm sure my dad is an alien. Look, values give us a little grit and determination when things are difficult. This is a great idea, and I'm going to talk about it several times. Values determine what is enough. See, contentment is a very beautiful thing, but it's something very few people have. Any collectors here? You collect stuff? Okay. Here's something about collecting. There's always one more piece, right? There's always one more piece. If I've got this, but if I could get this piece, I've seen people who trade. I'll trade you these two things for this thing. They're always, their collection is never complete. It's never enough. There's always that one more item, right? But see, when my values are right, I can say, enough. I'm content. Church, I can illustrate that for you. I value my grandkids. I value them. I show up at their house with treats. And when the parents say no, I say, I'm the dad here. And I give them the treats whether they like it or not. I can hang out with my grandkids. I can enjoy their company. I can torture them for a little while. And then something in me goes, I'm content. I can get in my truck and go home. Any grandparents here? Yeah. Isn't that the way it works? I like to visit my grandkids at their house. I'm happier that way. When we have the right values, we can sigh a sigh of contentment. When we don't have the right values, that contentment is never there. Because it's never enough, never enough, never enough. Six, values guide us when no one is watching or keeping score. Your values guide you when nobody's watching and nobody's keeping score. Values are chosen, not found. And this whole series is going to be based on suggesting some values that would make your life better if you would choose them. Paul says to Timothy, you got to be careful of stupid myths. Don't ever build values on stupid myths because they won't help you when you need them. You can't absorb values. They have no power when you need them. You have to choose them. You have to choose a value and say, this is what I value, and then you have to express that in behaviors day after day. In fact, we have to train ourselves to live out our values. Paul says to Timothy, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The word that gets translated train yourself is the Greek word that we get our English word gymnasium from. The Greek word is gymnazo, and we change it into gymnasium. Gymnazo, gymnasium. And oddly enough, for you who don't know much about the Greeks did all their exercising naked. So gymnas means naked. You didn't know it, but the gym means the naked place. Not our gym, but Greek gyms. Please, our gym is not Greek, it's American, and all right. But there's a great idea in here. The Greeks believed if you're going to do your very best performance, you got to strip some things away. So you're uninhibited, you're unhindered, encumbered. All right. And even our athletes, the runners, they wear these real light clothes. And all right. If I'm going to be a person who lives by my values, there has to be times in my life where I start letting go of stuff and I start saying, if I'm going to live the life I want to live, I got to start making a connection between what I'm actually doing and my values. I have to start living out the things that I value, and I got to let go of the things that keep me from living that out. Are you with me? I got to get some stuff out of my backpack, and I have to put the right stuff in my backpack so I can start living day by day and doing the things that I say that are really important and valuable to me. Church? And then he says, start exercising and training yourself for the values of godliness. Godliness means godlikeness. And that's kind of a hard word. That's a hard word for me to make practical. But this word can also be translated piety. Piety is a word you've all heard, and I'm not sure you could put a good definition to it. I want to share with you John Calvin's definition of piety. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to say it in an easier way. Could we do that? Here's what John says. I call piety that reverence joined with love of God, which the knowledge of his benefits induces. For until men recognize that they owe everything to God, that they are nourished by his fatherly care, that he is their author of the every good, that they should seek nothing beyond him, they will never yield him willing service. Nay, unless they establish their complete happiness in him, they will never give themselves truly and sincerely to him. I can say it in an easier way. This is what Calvin says. Calvin says, when you recognize that everything good in your life came from God, it changes how you love him and respect him. If you still live with the myth that you're taking care of yourself, the good stuff you have is because of who you are and what you've done. If you're living with that myth, you have messed up values. Everything good in my life is an expression of God's grace to me. Do you get it? Everything. And when I really believe that, it changes my mind about how I think about God. And when I change my mind how I think about God, it changes how much I trust him. And when it changes how much I trust him, it changes how much I'm willing to serve him. Do you see? Exercise your soul. Exercise your life so that you start living out a value that expresses great confidence in God, because everything good in your life right now comes from him. I come to work on Tuesday morning I leave my house about 5:45. And when I'm driving here, about 6 o'clock, I go past a place. It's a workout place. But it's got a garage door that you can look into, and you see they got workout stuff in there, and they also work out in the parking lot. So 6 o'clock in the morning, I see poor men and women jogging across this parking lot with weights, dumbbells or whatever they're called. They're torturing themselves at 6 o'clock in the morning. In the summer, I see them, they got these big tractor tires out there. They're flipping tractor tires over. I'm not doing it. I'd rather be chubby than do that. And look, this is just one of the many places that people go at the most unbelievable times, because they value their physical fitness. It's a value. And the way you see it's a value, they're getting out of bed and they're going and doing that. They're putting time, energy, effort, and money, and you see it's a value. And there are these workout places all over America, millions of them. Some of you go to them. It's easy to see how people value physical fitness. I wonder how many places there are for you to work out your eternal soul and put the same effort and energy into it that they put into their workout. Church, can I tell you, I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how many days you go. Your body's going to wear out. God bless you for taking as good care of it as you can. I want to take good care of mine too. I have a guy in this church who calls, who sends me text messages every week and says, Hoss, get your workout in. But church, someday, this doesn't go in the backpack anymore. And only my eternal soul goes in the backpack. And if I spend time and effort day after day caring for something that's temporary at the expense of no day after day working out and developing my eternal soul, what have I gained? What have I gained? And that's what Paul is saying to us. Your values matter. I'm going to do a whole sermon on valuing your eternal soul. It's the only thing you'll have forever and ever. There is great promise in good values. Do you get this? Your values that are good, they come with great promises attached to them. People who have the right values live a better quality of life than people who don't. Don't believe the TV myth. The people who have the right values, the people who are loving, they love unselfishly in their families. They love unselfishly with their friends. They love unselfishly when it comes time to help others. Those people live a better quality life than the selfish. Do you get it? Honest people live a better quality of life than dishonest people. The quality of your life is better when you have the value of honesty. Do you get it? Because right values come with a promise. It is the promise of a payoff, and the payoff is a better life today, and you have prepared your soul to live with the God who has the highest values. Then Paul said, this saying is worthy, trustworthy, and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Now listen to what Paul says. When you have right values, you have to labor and strive for those values. The word labor means you work at something until you're worn out, you're tired. Many of you have worn yourself out at work. You just worn yourself out. You got home and there was nothing left. You know what it means to work until you're tired. Now, could I ask you, have you ever worked that hard for the higher principles of your values? How hard did you work this week living out your value of loving your family? I mean, really, how hard did you work? How hard did you work this week living out your value of loving God? Two great commandments, love God and love the people around you. Did you wear yourself out one time living out your value of loving God? It's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? If I value God and I value my commitment to Him, have I ever worn myself out in my efforts and in my work because I do value Him? Hey, church, values don't exist in our comfort zone. Values do not exist in our comfort zone. Values are what push us out of our comfort zone. I'm going to give extra. I'm going to do more. I'm going to pay more attention. I'm going to show greater effort. That is an expression of a value. Sitting comfortably and doing nothing and saying it's really somebody else's job, that is not a value. Church, let me ask it in a more simple way. When was the last time you wore yourself out for something you didn't get an immediate return on? Look, I believe in working hard, but I like getting a paycheck. I get paid every 2 weeks. It comes in real, real handy. Church? Could I remind you that when you wear yourself out serving the Almighty, there is a paycheck that comes with that too. You just don't get it every 2 weeks. You just don't get it every 2 weeks. The second word here is strive. We get our English word agony from it. Agonizo. I agonize. How often do you agonize in doing good? I mean, you pay the price. You literally go through agony to do good. You know what I found over 36 years of pastoring? That gets old real quick. I've had people say to me, I'm tired of this. So-and-so didn't appreciate what I did at all. I'm never doing that again. See, there was a little agony in doing good, and you changed your mind about your values. Church, these little babies spit up. It's what babies do. I had a baby that didn't spit up. I called her the little hoser. I mean, she hosed me down. Jeez. I'd be all dressed up and ready to go to church. I'm holding a baby. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like it. But I valued that little baby more than I didn't like. Church. And many of you can tell a similar story, right? You can tell a similar story. The agony of is worse having that little one. It's a trade we're willing to make, church. All right, now I want to expand this into a bigger picture in my life. Where else am I willing to say, I don't like this, it isn't comfortable, it isn't what I would pick, but because I value this, I'm willing to endure this. Do you see? Paul is saying, challenge yourself. Look at the reality of your life. Stop telling yourself a story. The places where you are working until you're tired, the places where you put up with a little hassle and agony, they express your values. Where you won't give the extra effort, and when you're not willing to have the hassle and the agony, it's not a value. And maybe you should start reorganizing your soul to value the things that are really important. You see, when we hope in the living God, it's easier to have good values. When I hope in the living God, it's easier to have good values. Because I say, this will pay off. This isn't for naught. This value is honored by the one who is best able to say what is honorable. Church. Some of you are struggling to try to figure out your values. I looked at several programs, you can find them online, where you can take a little personality test and they'll tell you your values. One of them only takes 5 minutes, and you can take this little 5-minute test, and then they give you color printouts that tell what your values are and what categories they fall into. That might help some of you. But if you're not going to do that, then at least start paying attention to your day-to-day life. Start paying attention. Start saying to yourself, the way I treat the people close to me, does it show I value them? The way I act at work, does it show I value my work? The way I treat my eternal soul, does it show I value my eternal soul? And at some point, I'm going to ask you to sit down with a sheet of paper and start making some sentence statements about your values. I'm not going to ask you to write a whole book. I'm going to ask you to write a sentence. One sentence that says, I value this. So that you can have that sentence and start saying Monday morning, I value this. And today, some of the best efforts I have are going to go to this. Some of my best thoughts are going to go to this. I'm going to invest in this because it is a true value, and I'm going to learn all the behaviors that are necessary to live out this value in my life. Church, you got one backpack. It's one life. It's one life. And we all slog through the jungle of one life. And by the grace of God, we pick what goes in our backpack. By the grace of God, you get to choose what you value, and you put effort and energy to carry with you through life. Don't tell yourself a story. Be honest. Get the right stuff in your backpack. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would make us more sensitive and more aware of what we value. And I pray that our values would move more and more toward the things of piety and godlikeness. I pray that we would turn our values into daily behaviors. I pray that the quality of our life would improve, and the quality of the lives of the people around us would improve, because we've given our best self to our true values. Grant this through Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.